With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, so you and your SO are going to go and try to get information out of someone that you need to get information out of. So you go talk to them at like this club that they work at. And you're talking, you're not getting the information you want, but the girl that he's with is like, hey, come with me and I'll get you the information. So you go and you follow her, and she's like, I'll give you the information, but only if your SO kisses me and makes me love it. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out over real love and fake relationships.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Colin.
And it's just twosies today.
It's another twosies.
So, Colin, what do you do in this scenario?
I mean, that's tough because my first question is, why is she asking me?
What, so she's not asking you. She's asking your SO.
We both went into the other room.
You're both in the other room, and the woman is like your SO is talking to your SO and saying mm-hmm. like, I'll give you the information you need, but you have to kiss me, and you have to kiss me and make me believe that I'm Colin.
Okay.
And you're standing like right behind, and like they both know you're there.
I mean, it does not affect me whatsoever.
No.
If the SO is comfortable with it, I'll judge based on their reaction. If mm-hmm. they want a timeout or we could touch base and talk about it, I'm happy to do that.
Right. To be like, look, if this makes you uncomfortable, then we'll find another way.
We'll find another way. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you're into it, then yeah, it has nothing to do with me. That's fine. It does bother me whatsoever.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me whatsoever either. Because especially if you're like on a mission and
sure.
it's information you need.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's just like someone pretending. Okay, like if this person goes in for the kiss. So here's what happens.
Okay.
They go in for the kiss.
Is this Matrix Reloaded?
This is Matrix Reloaded.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Look, the Matrix movies are all up on Netflix right now. I was talking about the Enter the Matrix video game with uh-huh. Mark earlier this week. And so I've just got like Matrix on the brain. So I was watching Reloaded. And yeah, the Merovingian's wife, girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what she is.
She's a program.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter, I feel like.
Most of the characters they interact with in that movie are just like weird programs.
They're in the Matrix for at least most of the memorable parts of the movie. There's the,
yeah.
the Reloaded has the rave.
Yeah, that's right.
And it has the Neo Trinity plugged lovemaking.
Yep,
I remember
totally
those parts.
Mm-hmm. As far as like outside of the, it also has the part in the movie where Link, played by Harold Perrineau, comes home and starts to say to his wife, "Where's my pussy at?" and then is embarrassed because his wife's friend is there. But it's also like,
You should be embarrassed, even if it's just the two of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? What?
I mean, what do you do?
Okay, so your SO comes home. You've been hanging out with your friends. Walks in and just goes, "Where's my pussy at?" It's weird.
I mean, that would be funny as hell. In my case, I would point to my SO's pussy.
Yeah, it's right straightforward there. Answer there.
Yeah.
But
back to the informational kiss thing. I mean, it's so...
Neo goes in for the kiss.
Right.
And doesn't convince her at first. And then, Trinity's like, "Do it, Neo." Like, and then he does. And the camera keeps like cutting over to Trinity, like she's supposed to have a problem with it, and she's just like stone faced, which is how like that's just the character.
That's who she is. That's what makes her great.
But yeah, I she seems fine with it too.
Yeah,
like the movie wants you to think she's not.
It seems like, especially for the time, like obviously right now, consensual non-monogamy is having a pop culture moment.
Absolutely.
You know, it is like out there and more mainstream, I think, than it's been probably since like the 60s.
Yeah.
So, you know, far out, man. But at the time, you would think the obvious narrative is that's going to then like drive a wedge between them, or at least like temporarily, you know, put her in an uncomfortable position, but it doesn't really do that. But I think that's not really a choice of the movie. I think that's more of like a lot of the movie doesn't track.
Sure, that like some of the thematic beats don't really like line up in meaningful ways.
Yes.
Yeah. It is really weird because like the movie starts with we see Trinity like die in one of Neo's visions.
Mm-hmm.
And like we sort of have the information with us the whole time that like Trinity is there. A, because she's a badass, but B, because the Oracle told her that she would love the one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we know that, like, they can't wait till, you know, when they get back from the Nebuchadnezzar, they can't wait to, like, fuck in Zion. But, like, then there's no real, like, conflict regarding, like, there's no will they or won't they.
Right.
It's always just they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know what I don't know what the point of that moment is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough movie, to be honest. But yeah, I'm cool with it. If my SO is cool with it, that's great. Let's get the information. What was the information in the movie? I'm trying so hard. I know I'm like kind of disjointed, but it's mostly because I'm trying to remember like fucking 17 years ago when I last saw that movie.
So they're trying to find the key maker.
Right, so Will Ferrell.
No.
He's
the architect. Yeah, because the key maker can like get them into a building, which then leads the architect.
Yes,
was then played by Will Ferrell in like the MTV Movie Awards. Sketches. Yeah, and they know where the key they know where the key maker is.
Gotcha. Right, so he kisses her good, and they find the key maker.
Right, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he fights some things that were like werewolves or something.
Well, I ship it, I guess.
Here's the thing. As I'm watching it at home, just like between things, and like turning it off when I'm like, I'm bored now. I'm kind of enjoying it. So
I love that you're watching The Matrix Reloaded and 35-minute intervals like you're watching it in a high school class.
Yeah, that's right.
When the bell rings, you can pause it.
Right,
and pick it up the next day.
Our normal teacher is out all week because she had a kid or something. Colin, I don't know how we transition out of this into our main topic because I don't think we agree on what the main topic is.
I mean, we could go back and look at the text messages if you want. It seemed pretty clear to me.
Okay, so here's what happened. Just a little peek behind the scenes.
Okay.
Birds of Prey comes out today.
Yeah.
So Colin and I originally got together earlier and recorded an episode on bird ships.
Mm-hmm.
Great episode. You'll never hear it because my computer was destroyed.
Moments after recording, Patrick, I believe, put it in a backpack with an open water bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was in there for like, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds before I was like, oh, shit. This thing's full of water, and now the computer's broken forever, and that episode is lost to the ages. So I said, Colin, why don't we just do the other half of Birds of Prey, and instead of doing bird ships, we'll do prey ships.
Right.
And Colin was like, what is that even? And I was like, I don't know, like things that like hunters or things that are hunted, or you can go like homophonic on it and do like something that has to do with prey mm-hmm. ships.
See, that's where my mind immediately went, was to the praying ship.
Yes.
And then when you said, oh, it's like, you know, prey, I was like, oh, right.
So then you said, you have a homonym ship?
I have a homonym ship.
I would love to hear your homonym ship.
Okay, are you familiar yeah. with the homonym sloth? Like biblically, you know, it's like a deadly sin, and you know, means to be lazy.
Sure, sure. How is that a homonym?
Well, I think
yeah.
if I'm doing homonyms right, it's yeah. also an animal.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. there's two. There's a third. There's third.
From Goonies?
Yes, it is the character from the Goonies.
Okay. All right. Are you shipping sloth from Goonies with another sloth?
No, I'm shipping sloth from Goonies with another homonym character.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
All right. I love it. I love it. So is this? I would like to hear. Yeah. Go. Lay it out for me.
Okay. do you remember he was very popular character, or I guess like public figure that was
Carrot Top?
Nearly. It was he was super big in the National Enquirer in the 90s, which was one of my like greatest childhood joys. I don't know if you ever read the National Enquirer.
Yes. I was fascinated by it as a kid.
Yeah, it's a tabloid with fantastic supernatural stories. A lot of like Bigfoot is wed, 600-pound woman has 23 babies. Things like, you know, made up shit.
Right. Just patently, obviously made up shit.
Yes.
Is there a like you know, like The Onion has like Clickhole for mm-hmm. like
just
sort of like
clickbaity news.
Stuff. They're another thing that's like a take on what The Onion does. Do they have like a National Enquirer like version that's just like making up crazy shit?
I don't know. I haven't touched base with a National Enquirer in a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're up to, what they've been up to in the last 20 years, probably. I had one year for Christmas when I was in grade school. My mom got me a like 2-inch thick hardcover collection of National Enquirer stories.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh man, I loved that thing.
Colin, are we shipping Bat Boy?
We're shipping Bat Boy! Because Bat's an animal, but it's also a baseball thing. That's another
okay,
homonym.
Okay, all right. And Bat Boy specifically is like a thing in baseball and is also this this creature who,
exactly. Oh, yes,
who is
the
a different Bat Boy.
Bat Boy is yeah. also a homonym yeah. in itself, not just the bat part.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm down. This is good.
Yeah.
Does it bother you at all that Bat Boy is a boy and not a man?
I think Bat Boy is a boy in the sense that he is the size and shape of a child in the torso and head. But I think Bat Boy is, I've always imagined Bat Boy to be kind of ageless. And
okay,
maybe that's
sure.
because over the course of like, you know, from kindergarten to, you know, ninth yeah. grade, I was reading about Bat Boy. Bath Boy.
And like that's like how they tease each other, like, it's time for Bath Boy.
Oh my god, he's like
Well, so I guess the other problem is like, what is sloth's like age and emotional maturity?
Also boyish.
Also boyish. They have a boyish affair.
They do have a boyish affair.
Okay, so who rescues who in this scenario?
Well, as the bumper sticker says. As the bumper sticker says.
Right.
Indeed, who rescued who? Well,
pause.
Yeah. Well, so we know Bat Boy lives in caves and dank spaces, things of that nature, right?
Well, I guess maybe I need a refresher on like what Bat Boy's story is.
Okay.
He just lives and lurks in a cave. He's not like a child that was born to human parents.
Well, so here's the I can give you the blow by blow.
Yeah.
As far as I remember it.
Please.
So Bat Boy first appears in the National Enquirer when he's discovered in a cage. Scientists believe him.
Cage
to,
or cave?
I'm sorry, cave.
Okay.
Discovered in a cave. Believe that the scientists believe he's half bat, half boy.
Okay.
Maybe some sort of human bat hybrid, but there's really no explanation ever scientifically, you know, concluded.
Right.
It's kind of one of those great mysteries. But before you get bogged down in all of those details, all of a sudden Bat Boy is getting into adventures.
Oh!
So now every week it's Bat Boy does this, Bat Boy does that. Bat Boy appears on Rosie O'Donnell's show. I remember after
shooting koosh balls into the audience.
Yeah, exactly. I remember after 9/11, Bat Boy went to Afghanistan to hunt for Osama bin Laden.
That's good. Did he enlist or did he go over there on his own?
I think he went over there on his own. He was a rogue maverick.
I don't. That's not good.
I mean, well, he's a Bat Boy.
Right?
What has our society ever really done for him?
Great point.
So after he captures Osama bin Laden, that whole SEAL Team 6 thing was a hoax. Bat Boy got him back in 2002.
Right. More like Bat Team 1.
Ooh. Ka-ka. And for those of you who don't know, he's this like gray little boy figure with bat wings for arms. And he's got little tiny teeth and like huge
black eyes. Yeah.
Huge golem-like eyes. He's adorable. I love him. If anyone wants to send me a Bat Boy t-shirt, let me know. I just thought of that.
You can send us an email at shippledipshow@gmail.com.
Accepting Bat Boy t-shirts.
That's right.
So
how do they get together? Does Bat Boy become one of the Goonies and go on their adventure with them?
I think this is a post-Goonies world. I think the cruel reality of it is Chunk and Sloth, though they love each other, I don't think Chunk's mom is going to go through with adopting Sloth. I think she's going to be like, no, he's an adult. We have to like call social services. We have to get him into some programs and stuff like that.
And also like Chunk and Sloth have a connection at that specific time in Chunk's life.
Right.
Chunk is like, he's going to grow up in like...
Yeah. He's going to want to go to community college one day.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to go to community college. He's going to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to date girls. Like, his life is going to change from where it is right now. He's probably going to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Or not.
I
just feel great about his body either way. Like, he'll get to a point where people aren't making fun of him for his body. Either that's at the same size or he's going to get in shape. Like, either way... He's not going to be defined by, like, do the truffle shuffle, right?
Right, right, right.
So he's not going to need Sloth in his life anymore.
Which is so sad and cruel to Sloth.
Totally.
Because Sloth will still need love.
Yes, yes.
Everyone needs love.
Yes.
Sloth is no exception to that. But I imagine Sloth's like, okay, I mean, what's the world I know? I could go back into that dank, scary pirate cave. Live there for a while. I know. Oh,
yeah.
Sad.
It is sad.
But he goes up onto his like favorite ledge, and he's, you know, moving some rocks around and pushing some dirt, making a little bed for himself.
There aren't pirate ships in there anymore, right?
There was only one, and it sailed away.
It sailed away, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All on its own?
Yeah, it was a booby trap.
All right.
Set up by, what's his name? Coinbeard.
One-Eyed Jack?
One-Eyed Jack, yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's not Coinbeard.
But he did have coins for a beard, right?
I think I remember so many coins.
Okay. So he's setting up like a cave to live in in that Goonies cave.
Mm-hmm. And then he's all like, oh, Sloth sad, Sloth miss Chunk.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden these two giant eyes open in the back of the cave. And you see these tiny little needle teeth go, and they lock eyes. And he goes,
and Sloth is probably freaking out,
Sloth
right?
Sloth is totally freaking out. Exactly like
right.
that. That's
he's
scary.
Upset.
He's like powdered on stuff. And then they sort of stop screeching and yelling.
Which is hard because that's probably part of how Bat Boy sees, right? He's got to use echolocation.
He was just identifying what was in the cave with him.
That's right.
It was a total misunderstanding. Uh-huh. But after they calm down and they have sort of a... They have a bit of a heart-to-heart, you know, and,
right.
and the rudimentary languages that they can speak. But I feel like they can understand each other on an emotional level.
Yeah.
Because of their limited, say, vocabulary, they're able to cut through that and get right to a soul conversation.
That's sweet. That's
a
sweet.
Mind meld, if you will.
Yeah.
And Sloth wraps his big, meaty arms around Batboy's tiny little body, and Batboy drapes Sloth's massive shoulders and his leathery wings.
I don't know. As you describe it, I hate it.
And then it's like, at last, my love's come around.
I imagine it devolves into that a lot. That Batboy mm-hmm. starts to screech so he can see in the dark,
mm-hmm.
and Sloth ends up shouting.
Yeah, but and I think if you know, Batboy were to continue his like TV appearance slash political vigilante slash sort of crime fighter career.
Sure, he continues his work as a modern patriot.
Yeah, whatever the hell Batboy is up to. Sloth is ride or die. We know that.
Totally, yeah.
Loves an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking muscle, man. Batboy is screechy and scratchy and can fly, which is useful in a fight.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just need a bruiser.
Yeah, totally.
And boom, perfect
and
team.
That's what Sloth is. That's good. Colin, look, I'll admit I didn't totally understand what you were doing with homonym ships. I thought you were going to be like, I ship this character named Jerry with this character named Jerry.
Oh, that would have been a fun angle. Yeah.
I didn't know. I had no idea which way you were going. Would you like to hear my prey ships?
I would love to hear your prey ships.
Okay, so
you don't have any homonym ships?
I don't have any homonym ships. No.
You said in the text.
I what?
That we could do homonym ships.
I didn't think we were being serious.
That's quite all right, and I understand where you're coming from. No, hit me with some prey ships.
Okay,
and I'm curious to find out which homonym you went with.
So, homophone, first of all, because they're just words that sound the same.
Oh, and,
They are spelled different.
Okay, thank you.
I did two. I did one that's prey, like eat it, like mm-hmm. like eating something.
Like eat prey.
Like eat prey, love. So, but specifically, I'm taking like the birds of prey part of prey.
Okay.
You know what word means bird of prey? It's raptor.
It absolutely is raptor. More like a big turkey, if you ask me.
Yeah. You know, if you want to scare the kid, you could pull the gun on him. Okay. So I am shipping two different velociraptors.
Okay.
The first velociraptor is named Anchovy. He's from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Aww.
He is time displaced, picked up by Bebop and Rocksteady as they were like tumbling through time.
Oh my god!
During Bebop and Rocksteady destroy everything.
Uh-huh.
They very nearly unmake all of existence because they're Bebop and Rocksteady, right?
Well, what the hell else would they do?
Yeah,
I love that. This was a comic series.
Yeah,
was this in the last 100? Issues?
Yeah, it took place during that, yeah.
Okay.
So it's Dustin Weaver and Ben Bates.
That sounds awesome. I want to read that so bad. Because, you know, when they're traveling through time and fucking shit up, they have no control over anything. It's just they
barely have a concept that what they're doing is remarkable, right? Like they're traveling through time and they're just like, oh, what are all these dinosaurs doing here? Like they're so
start punching
dumb.
Stuff.
Yeah, and they do. And so
amazing.
They recruit this little dinosaur that like travels with them, and it is like a small, like a baby velociraptor when they meet him.
So they get to, like to they get it to imprint on them.
Yes.
Okay.
So like they're at the beginning of Destroy Everything, they've been kicked out of the Foot Clan and they're looking to join a new gang.
Okay.
Right. And of course no one will take them because they're horrible, huge bruisers that just like accidentally murder everything they come in contact with. And this little dinosaur like imprints on them and travels with them throughout mm-hmm. time, because it can take, you know, the kind of chaos that they dish out. But then like, they lose it in the present for a little while, and Anchovy is with the Ninja Turtles for a little bit, and then back with Bebop and Rocksteady, gets abandoned in the prehistoric era again for a little bit, grows up, gets exposed to some mutagen, but is still like dinosaur-y, right?
It
like,
gets exposed back in the
present.
In the present. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Bebop and Rocksteady do a lot of time travel. Okay. Awesome. And no one's happy about it. But so this anchovy mm-hmm. will be, you know, like stumbling through various like time portals, whatever, maybe trying to get away from Bebop and Rocksteady when he finally realizes that they're no good for him.
Okay.
And then he's going to get picked up by some scientists in lab coats.
Interesting.
Lab coats that say InGen. And they're going to throw poor anchovy into a raptor exhibit.
Oh my God, that's so cruel.
But finally, after however long he's been traveling through time, mm-hmm. he's reunited in the present with Velociraptors. I ship anchovy with Blue from Jurassic World. Because this is another... So he's... Okay, anchovy's like slightly mutated, right?
Right.
Just ever so slightly. He can
understands
like,
a human-raptor relationship.
Absolutely. And he can see that like... Oh, Blue has this relationship with Owen? Mm-hmm. Is that the character's name?
It sure is.
And he can be like, oh, hey, you're a dinosaur like me, but also like me, you understand a little bit more than the rest of these dinosaurs.
Right.
And then they can, you know, anchovy can like, you know, run with him and like help him coordinate, you know, mm-hmm. like when they're running around with Chris Pratt on a motorcycle. That they can like work together to like actually... you know, like take down whatever dinosaur they're fighting, or
right.
What does Chris Pratt fight in the Jurassic World movies?
The fucking the
Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hybrid. They made a new dinosaur,
right?
And then it gets out, and they have to fight it with raptors and a T Rex.
They have to fight it with the T Rex from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the way that movie ends.
Where did you land on the second one?
I didn't see the second one.
Oh, you didn't?
Uh-uh.
I thought it was so much better.
Really?
I liked it. It's a huge break from format, which I think the franchise needed desperately.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that, because every one of those movies is the same.
Sure.
I mean, the same in format of like,
yeah.
Go to the island, think the characters are in control, realize the characters aren't in control.
Exactly.
Dinosaurs.
Exactly. So even just change of setting, they destroy the island in the first act.
Yeah.
And then there's dinosaur fights in a mansion after that, which is so much more fun.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Honestly, man, I think you would like
mansion?
It. Yeah, I liked it.
Maybe I would like that.
It's, you know, it's silly, and it doesn't have the magic of, you know, the brontosaurus rising its head and Sam Neill seeing it for the first time. Like,
right, but we've seen that.
And none of them have since had that magic. So, right. Like, for what they are now, I think that's the best. It might be my favorite sequel, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Interesting. But I do love your ship.
Thank you.
I like it. I don't... Oh, you don't believe in spoilers.
Yeah, I don't believe in spoilers.
So
I can tell
you. Okay,
yeah.
So at the end, what is the second Jurassic World called?
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom. At the end of Fallen Kingdom, dinosaurs are out. They're free. Like, there's no more, like,
okay.
humans wrangling dinosaurs into this place and moving them to that place and
sure.
selling them on the black market.
They're wild animals.
They are now out in the world, wild animals,
cool.
and the ecosystems and food chains will have to adjust to that.
Yes.
Because...
people inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's it. So I really like this ship with the way that movie ends, because now Blue and Anchovy... get to fucking be, man. They get to live in the fucking jungle, the city. They can go to the beach.
Oh,
they can do whatever
great.
The fuck they want.
I am so following their joint Instagram account.
It's surprisingly, it's mostly pictures of their dog. So don't follow if you don't like dog chips. Arr! That was a raptor noise.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if that was the dog.
No, or... I realized that. I did.
That's me trying to do the raptor noise.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
You need to have that like hollowed out raptor skull. Like,
yeah.
Like Grant uses in Jurassic Park 3. And then
God.
I have the other homophone prey ship.
Okay.
Which is of course got to be from Keeping the Faith.
Oh, keeping the faith.
Keeping the faith.
How does that one hold up? I loved that when I was a kid.
I haven't rewatched it. Okay. And, you know, the movie was made 20 years ago, so it's entirely possible that it does not hold up.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Ed Norton and what's his name?
Ben Stiller and then, Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the movie, Ben Stiller plays Rabbi Jake Schramm and Ed Norton plays Father Brian Finn. Their like childhood friend Anna, like the three of them all grew up together, and then she moved away and became like a powerful businesswoman, and then they both become like leaders in their religious organizations. You know, Stiller is a rabbi and Norton is a priest, and they're buddies, and it's like the setup to every joke of like these two guys walk in and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But they're good friends, and they both seem like cool versions of their. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
I hate
acceptable
to say it,
versions.
Like yes. They're the cool religious figures that are like, you don't realize how weird it is that the youth pastor is hanging out with all those teenagers in the basement all night.
Right.
Until
yes.
you're no longer in the basement. You know what I mean?
I firmly believe that Edward Norton's character is not a pedophile. I believe this.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know you're from Wisconsin, so I'm guessing you're probably a Lutheran.
No, Catholic.
Oh, Catholic. Okay. Same difference. You had a youth father.
No.
Do they not have youth fathers in the Catholic
Church?
No,
definitely not.
Oh, okay.
All of my confirmation.
They're all youth fathers.
They're all youth. Oh. Yeah. But look, okay, so then Anna moves back to town. Mm-hmm. Are they in New York?
Where New York, the yeah, yeah, the New York is like a character.
It's like the fourth character. And so she comes back to town, and they both realize that they have feelings for her, which, like, A, love triangle, right? But B...
love rectangle. God's in there. Yep. Ed Norton's also married to the Lord.
He is. He's not supposed to. And, like, the movie ends with him just being like, yeah, I just had to, like, tap out of this because it, like, goes against my faith, which is tough and, like...
But here's the thing. Also, I don't think they address it in the movie, but Ben Stiller can't marry a non-Jewish woman as a rabbi. They're very strict about that shit.
I mean, they're strict about it culturally. I don't know if they're strict about it scripturally, right? Like, it's like allowed, but like looked down on. And that's part of the movie. Like, his mom is like, you can't, like that. That's another like engine of drama in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I love the ship all three ways. I would love it if they all three of them got together and then like regretted it the next morning.
Yeah.
Like I just it's
like
so
an E2 Mama kind of thing.
Yes,
like
yes!
That scene where Ben Stiller and Ed Norton wake up shirtless in bed together. Like,
yes,
oh.
Which shouldn't be that weird because they were just you know moments ago masturbating together on adjacent diving boards. So like. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to break the seal. You got to break the seal one day. That's what I always say.
The point is I like every permutation of that ship, I would like to see Norton's character with Jenna Elfman's character. I'd like to see Norton with Stiller with Elfman. Like, I think it's all perfect.
Are you satisfied with the way the movie did it with Stiller and Elfman ending up together and Norton as like the sidekick, kind of like it was when they were kids, just sort of continuing their childhood into adulthood?
I mean, I accept it just because it's like part of what like Norton has accepted about like his reality and his faith that he can't be with anyone. You know, that's something that I think is bullshit about Catholicism. Like, let your priests marry and maybe they won't be molesting young boys. maybe. This is a maybe. This
I don't
is,
know. I
this
feel
is
like
a halfway thing, solution.
Yeah, I feel like one thing doesn't necessarily lead to the other, but...
Can't hurt.
It could.
It could hurt. It
because
could,
then
it could
they,
hurt.
Because then if they're all married, they could have kids.
But the point is the movie and the character both buy into it, like in a way that seems meaningful to him. So I'm
I remember it being a thing where like the character sort of had to discover like that crisis of faith. Like he was talking to his mentor. Ed Norton was talking to his mentor. It's like, yeah, dude, this is like wholly unnatural. You're going to have this crisis of faith more than once in your life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has a conversation with the mentor, and the mentor is like, I fell in love once in, you know, 1970 whatever, and then again in 1970 whatever, and then again in 1980 whatever, and then again in... Yeah. So, like, it's, yeah.
I did like that that scene, and I like that journey for the characters.
Man, what a cute movie. I love it so much.
It is a cute movie. Gosh.
No way to know if it holds up, though.
No, I'm not watching it again.
Hey, Colin,
two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.